Our reading today is in 2 Kings 4. If you have a Bible and you want to follow along, it's in 2 Kings chapter 4. And it's speaking about Elisha and the widow's oil. 2 Kings 4, verse 1 to 7. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor has come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said to her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbours. Empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children off the rest. Amen. And we trust that the Lord will bless that reading today and help us to understand it and help us to speak from his word today. I want to think this morning a few thoughts about living in debt. I don't know who in here is living in debt at the moment, but it's something that many of us have to deal with every day. And I don't think that there's too many people that like to be living in debt. It's something that maybe I can't handle very well and I don't like very much, but it seems to be part of life in our Western world, is living in debt. But it's not just in the Western world, it's all around the world, but maybe just not on as big a scale. But it's so easy for us in this part of the world to get into debt very easily. And a few years ago, you could have got into as much debt as you wanted very easily. And we can owe a lot of money for different things. It can be a mortgage, it can be a car loan, it could be a student loan or things like that. Or maybe money at Christmas or money for a holiday. These are things that we could get into debt for. And I want to think a wee bit this morning about the debt that we owe. What do we owe? Who do we owe it to? And why do we owe it? And if we look at this lesson here in 2 Kings 4 about the widow and the oil, well, we know that Elijah was a great prophet who did many amazing things. He raised the boy to life and he made a fool out of the false god Baal. And Elijah had an understudy, Elisha. And Elisha was trained and taught very much by Elijah. And it was good for Elisha to sit in under the teaching of Elijah. The name Elijah means the Lord, he is God. And Elijah's time on the earth was coming to an end. Elijah was going to heaven to be with God. And he was handing over to Elisha. The name Elisha means God saves. And something about Elijah and Elisha was that Elisha asked for a double portion of what Elijah had. And that's something very important. And I don't know if there's any men of God or people around you in your life that you would like to have a double portion of the Spirit that they have in their life. I know I have looked at people and thought that. I sometimes think about my father and think I would like a double portion of the Spirit that is upon my father in order to go forward in the Lord's work. I would pray that the Lord would bless me in that way. And it's good to have that, and it's good to aspire to be like people. Not to be that person, but maybe to have something of their spirit. Because God has saved us all as individuals, if we trust in him. And he wants us to be us and to reach the people that we can reach. for him. And as we look at this portion of Scripture, we can see that there was a payment owed here. This woman owed a payment. It doesn't say whether it was the husband or the wife that owed the debt, but I would say it was probably the wife that owed the debt. If it's anything like my house, that's where the debt's gathered. I don't know what your house is like. I don't want to start any arguments or fights today. Make the most of the good weather and enjoy each other's company. But it doesn't actually say who owed the debt, but besides that, this woman was left with the debt hanging because her husband maybe could no longer supply, in a way, for the household. And it was a common problem in those days to be living in debt. And it was a wee bit different from nowadays, right enough. They might lose their home, they might lose a lot of things, they might even lose their freedom, whereas we wouldn't really lose our freedom with our debt. And even worse, they might lose their family, which is something that would be scary for all of us, is to lose your family. And in those days, you could have a kinsman redeemer, which was a member of your family who would be able to take the debt, who would buy that debt on your behalf and pay that redemptive price for the debt. But she obviously never had somebody in her family who would be a kinsman redeemer. And she had to look to the man of God. She had to look to Elisha for her help. And I'm sure that this wouldn't have been easy. I don't know if any of you have ever been in any serious debt and had to ask for help. That's not easy to come to that, and maybe especially for a man to come to that situation where you have to ask, where you just cannot provide or you can't seem to get through. I know it's got a lot of serious, things happening nowadays with people getting into a lot of debt. It can really burden you, burden people down, and a lot of people don't seem to know how they slip under that debt. It's something we should never take for granted, that we have money, you know, and we're getting through at times, because anything can happen, any one of us, in any of our lives. And it says there in the news the other day that the homeless figure in London had just gone up by 40% in the last year. These are a lot of people who came through professional jobs and their life was going okay, and the next thing, they have nothing else and they're out on the street. And in there in the church in the town there in Cornerstone, they run a thing going along with them called CAP, which stands for Christians Against Poverty, which helps a lot of people who are in serious debt. So if you know anybody that is suffering in that way or needs help in that way, it would be worth getting in touch with them, because they are very helpful. They contact the creditors and they arrange smaller payments and they help people manage their money in a better way. So if you did know anybody like that, it's good to be like that, but it's good to be sensible with their debts too, isn't it? And not try to let them accumulate too much. So say I work for a landscape gardener and we cut grass there some days, and people are very often coming out very quickly with the money to pay for the grass cutting, because if they miss you for a couple of weeks, it's very hard to pay when it's starting to mount up. It's harder to pay for these things. So these are things that we should always try and sort out very quickly. And my father there, quite often my father, he would buy things for me and I would owe him money, but I would always forget. And I would always say to him, you know, do I owe you any money? He would never say to me, you know, you owe me £20, or he would never say that to me. I would always have to say to him, do I owe you any money? But it's good to get that sorted out. And then even with my wife, Karen, I do a different approach altogether. I say, you get it now, sure, and I'll sort you out. But then she never gets the money sorted out, so she's getting wise to that too, that the paybacks don't always come for her in that way. But it's good to pay your debts and not have them hanging over us. The Bible tells us and advises us not to have debts hanging over us, but that's very hard for us in this society that we live in, because we have to step under a mortgage very much in order to buy our own house. Very few people have cash just to buy outright. And as I looked at this scripture, you know, I thought about the debt that I owed and the debt that has been gathering for me from the time that I was born into this world. And I realized that from the moment that I was born, that I was a sinner, and the debt of sin was hanging over my life, and it was something that was going to need addressed. And I know it's hard for people to understand as they look at a beautiful wee baby. We see children on here today, and you know, as we look at wee babies, we think, you know, they're amazing and they're beautiful, but every single child that's born into this world has got sin in their life, and the debt of sin is hanging over them. Romans 3 verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 6 verse 23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. And I realized that this debt was hanging over my life. And I know there's many of you in here today who have realized that that is hanging over your life too. God gives us an amazing opportunity to know him, to be in a relationship with him, to have forgiveness with him. But many of us for many years were giving the Lord nothing in return. We were all out for ourselves and not for the Lord. The Lord's prayer says, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." So we owe a debt that we can't pay. And the Lord Jesus paid a debt that he did not owe. That's how it is. That's what he has done for each and every one of us. And the Apostle Paul was very conscious in his ministry of the debt that he had been forgiven. And many of us are like that. You know, we've lived out in the world for years. We've done a lot of stupid and crazy things out in the world. We've lived very ungodly lives. And when you've lived a life like that, you always have that in the background. But you're very thankful for what you have been forgiven for and what the Lord has rescued you from. And if you look in your Bible, I'll just read it out here. In Luke 7, verse 41 to 43, it says, "There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And when we realize the debt that we really owe, we're so thankful for that. We realize what God has done for us. We realize what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. And that, in a way, can be very helpful and how we go forward and how we witness for the Lord and how we tell other people about Jesus. We're just aware of what Jesus Christ has done for each and every one of us. And people who are never aware of their sin, they're never really aware of God and how much they owe God in their lives. They don't have that awareness. And it's only when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross that we really become aware of who we are and what we are before the Lord. And this woman, there's a good thing about this woman, that she was aware that she owed this debt. She was aware of the danger that lay ahead of her and her family. She knew that there was a price to pay for the debt. And that's something that we all need to be aware of, that there's a price to pay for each and every one of us. And it says here that the men were going to come and take her children to be bond slaves. It says they were going to take the children into slavery. And that's something that's it's hard to get your head around. You know, as a father, it's hard for me to get my head around that, being separated from your children. And I know there's many of you can think like that today. And there's nothing probably that scares you more in life than that possibility of being separated from your children forever. And I know that's hard. And the Bible tells us that there's a great day of separation coming. And that can be hard for us to get our head around as parents and grandparents, what is actually ahead. And those are scary thoughts, and these are scary times that we live in. But this woman was aware that there was a price to pay, and there was a great day of separation coming up. And it says there in Matthew 3 and verse 12, it says, "Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And the Bible tells us the truth, and the truth very often can be hard for a lot of people to take and a lot of people to hear. And it can be sad for us, it can be hard for us as Christians to think about the separation and about what's ahead for those who don't trust in the Lord. And I have three young children, and I pray for them, but I don't know where my children will end up. We pray that they will trust the Lord. I know two of them have said, ask the Lord Jesus into their heart at a young age. I just pray that they will continue to do that, continue to follow, and that will be a lifetime decision made in their hearts to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, because I don't really know where they'll go. I'm sure my parents looked at me too, and They wouldn't have known where I was going to go many times in their life or what was going to happen, but we can just trust this to the Lord that we will not be separated from our children. And it's great when you see grandparents and children together, isn't it? When you see them running about. Grandparents seem to have so much time for grandchildren. They seem to have a lot more time than the parents have for the children. The parents seem under pressure a lot of time, as we're always telling the children off. And grandparents are just constantly feeding them sweets and keeping them happy. And they seem to have a very good relationship they get. And we don't want to see these days of separation coming, you know, where people are going to be separated. And as I think about Karen's mother, you know, my mother-in-law, I was even thinking of taking her on holidays with us. You know, imagine going on holidays with a mother-in-law. But I know some of you men are shaking your head there, but I get on very well with Karen's mother. But it's good when you see these people together, when you see the bond that they have, and we never want these bonds to be separated. We want people to be together forever. And the only hope that we have of that is in heaven. We've got that hope in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. John 14 there reminds us about this, where it says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." And that's the promise that we have, that we are going to be with the Lord. If we trust in the Lord, that's going to be our family in heaven. And that is the only assurance that we have. We don't know who in our lives, family-wise, friends-wise, who is going to trust the Lord and who's going to be with the Lord. But we've got that assurance that when we get there, we'll all be together in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus says that you know the way. It's going to be worse for those people who knew the way and did nothing about it. There's so many that seem to have kind of a grasp of the things of God and an understanding. They even accept that they're doing wrong, that they're living in sin, but yet they never make the commitment. And it's going to be a lot worse for those people whenever they get to the end of their life and are leaving this world, that they knew the way and they didn't do anything about it. That is going to be the worst for these people as they spend time in eternity, that they didn't do anything about it. So this woman was aware of the price. She was aware that she couldn't pay it, but she knew what to do. She looked to the man of God. The man of God was going to make provision for this woman. And Elisha asks her two very searching questions. He asks her, "What can I do for you, and what do you have in the house?" These are the two things that Elisha asks. Two very searching questions. And it's good to be asked challenging questions in our lives. It's good to have people that ask us challenging questions. There's a lot of people in the world today who never get asked these questions. There's a lot of people who never ask themselves these questions about life and about what they actually have. And this woman had to acknowledge her need. And she realized that the only one who could help her was God. And God's help. She was at the bottom, this girl. She didn't know what to do. She was in debt. And she had to turn to God, of course, for help. And many of us can testify to the same thing, as being at the bottom and having to look to God for help. Many of us have had no peace and satisfaction in our lives. We seem to have everything in our lives, but yet we had nothing in our lives. We're surrounded by material things and the things of this world, aspiring to the things of this world, but yet not thinking about the things of God. It's so easy to be consumed with the things of this world. And I'm a serious man about sport. I get very taken up with sport. But Karen, she was giving me a bit of a tune this morning in the house about getting taken up with the tennis, you know, and Andy Murray today is going to go on and win Wimbledon. We'll see anyway if he does it or not, I don't know, but there's always that hope there. But people seem to get very caught up, don't they, where everything is the next thing, and then it's football, and there's always something else. But it's so easy to be caught up with the things of this world and bypass the real searching questions that we need. There's so many distractions. There's nothing wrong with getting caught up with a bit of sport, as long as it doesn't become your worship and your religion, as it is for so many people who get totally decorated in all the football gear and the football tattoos and whatever else, but I never went that road. Thank the Lord I never went that road. But it's all right to have an interest in these things, but not to be too consumed and taken up with them. And we see here, and we learn from this, that we cannot pay the price that is owed in our lives. In Leviticus, the Israelites were taught and obeying the sacrificial system. They were taught that there was no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. That's what Hebrews 9 verse 22 says, that without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness of sins. And the blood of the sacrifice atoned or covered the sins and blotted it out from God's sight. And we know that the Bible tells us that the penalty of sin is death. That's ahead for every one of us if we don't trust in the Lord. We deserve to die, whether we like that or not, or whether we can accept that or not. That's what we deserve. And a sinner would bring the offering to the priest, and the priest would sacrifice this offering. And the blood of this sacrifice would atone, or the Hebrew translator for that would be to cover the sins of this person who was bringing the sacrifice. And this would be pleasing in the sight of God, that this had taken place, a death had taken place, and justice had been done. But we know that these sacrifices could never really take away sins. But what they did was point towards the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was the only one who could ever take away sins. This perfect, sinless Son of God was the only one who could take our place on the cross. That had to be the perfect sacrifice. And I can remember teaching a wee Bible verse up in the park there, up in New Baldens, a few years ago with the CEF club. It says, Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about those last few words of that. And that was the whole aim of the Bible, was to bring you to God. That's what it was all about. That's why Christ died for our sins. Jesus was the only one who could take our place. And the amazing thing about Jesus and about the Lord God Almighty is he knows everything about us. Psalm 139 tells us that we were woven together in our mother's womb. He knew us before the world began. And the amazing thing about it is that even before the world was in place, that there was plans been made for the rescue of a people for God out of this world. Revelation 5 tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ and who was able to leave heaven apart from the Lord Jesus Christ and come to this earth to die on the cross for our sins. The Lord Jesus was going to become our Redeemer, our kinsman Redeemer. He became a human so he could become our kinsman Redeemer and take our debt upon himself. He was willing to redeem us. Revelation 5 says, and I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book? So who in heaven was worthy to do this and loose the seals? And no man in heaven, nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, that's what John says, because he was despairing. He thought that nobody was going to be able to do this, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book. Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin. Saul was only in place to discipline the Israelites. This Redeemer wasn't going to come through the tribe of Benjamin. Jesus came from the root of David and to loose the seven seals. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the others stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, and the four beasts and the four and the 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden veils full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us. So the Lord Jesus Christ was slain to redeem us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And verse 12 says, they are worthy as the lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. And it amazes me, you know, how this was all in place. We can think and we can try and get our head around so many things, but these are things that we can never fully understand, that the Lord Jesus left heaven to come to this earth to die on the cross for us. As we think about that and dwell upon the things of that, that's the amazing thing about the Bible. We have so much, we have spiritual light through the Spirit of God in our lives, but we'll never have full understanding because we're human beings on this earth. But the Spirit of God gives us enough enlightenment to understand the things of God. Without that, we're just reading. We're just reading the Bible. And I know from the past, before I became a Christian, I couldn't really understand the Bible. We read the Bible stories, but we thought, it doesn't really come in here. You know, we can't get our head around it, but when the Spirit of God comes into our life, that brings real understanding and a hunger for the Word of God and how we see that everything falls into place. It's amazing how the whole Bible is just together. Everything's together from the start to the finish. And as we study that, we realize that, and that's what gives us a hunger and a desire to do that. So the Lord provided for this woman. He paid for her debts. And this woman was, she was well off then, materially. She was well off. This oil that she was able to sell, and she was able to keep her family forever. And we just pray and we hope and trust that she remained spiritually in her relationship with the Lord and obedient, as we should too. It's something that's essential for every one of us. It's great to come to know the Lord, but we must maintain and stay in that relationship with God. As I say, there's so many distractions in this world. There's so many people telling us different things. You're bombarded constantly with lies. Every time you turn on the BBC News, they're talking about evolution. They're talking about same-sex relationships. They're talking about all these things that are just totally detrimental to us, and they're just wearing people down bit by bit by bit and trying to make things acceptable for us. But we must remain in a relationship with the Lord and be strong and stand up for what we believe in this world. And just pray for our children. Our children are really going to be up against it with the whole evolution thing. It's going to be hard for them coming up through school. My children love watching nature programs on the TV, and a lot of these nature programs aren't on very long before they're touching on these things too, which is very, very hard for us to. So then you're sitting explaining to your children, you know, something that's different from what they're hearing on the TV all the time. And I saw there a couple of weeks ago, David Attenborough was awarded another honorary degree from a university. And I'm sure many of you have watched David Attenborough nature programs. They're probably the best nature programs on the TV. But, you know, one minute you think he's really good at this, and the next thing he's talking about evolution, and you think, so, you know what I mean, he's so far away, so wise to these things, but yet he just doesn't get it. That can only come through the Lord. And we see here how God is this woman's endless supplier and eternal provider, and that's what he is for us too. So if we think about that today, what do you owe, who do you owe it to, and why do you owe it? For me, it comes down to one thing. It's I owe my life to the Lord Jesus Christ because he died for my sins. That's it. That's what we owe, and that's what we have to think about every single day. And I hope as you think about that, that the reality of that speaks to you, because that will change every decision that you ever make in your life. Every decision that we should have this in mind. And that can be hard for us in this world to do that, but that's the God who has saved us. He would like us to think like that and to focus our lives on him and the things of God and how he provides and how he makes a way, how he cancels out our debts, just as this woman had her debts cancelled out. He cancels out our debt. And we can live our lives for him and know that our God is a great God who provides for each and every one of us, no matter what that we have done. Amen.